about
this
us at networking. Oh, good. I'm glad she got it started, especially business networking. So social capital is accumulated by providing help, advice, information, referrals, and other benefits to fellow networkers without any thought of quid pro quo. So it's critical for us to get the idea out of our head if we expect a tit for a tat and all that kind of, you know, that concept shouldn't exist. Some of us were raised with that concept, so it's very hard because it's been part of who we are for our entire lives. But again, by choice, you just choose to let it go because it's not about quid pro quo. The world's not about quid pro. For those of you still looking for that, I guarantee you, you probably have problems in your marriage, in your relationship with your children, in your relationship with people around your neighborhood. You probably have changed churches 10 times. I mean, quid pro quo is just that it's never going to produce for you. It's going to always leave you empty-handed because there are always going to be people on the other side that are not going to give back what your expectations are. And again, quid pro quo comes from the concept of expectations. And I think expectations are where depression and where disappointment and where we end up in deception, we created ourselves by the having expectations. We should walk this world without having expectations. We can expect things of ourselves, but when you start having expectations of others, you're somehow thinking that you can, you know, run their lives. What you do impacts their lives and runs their lives, and they're going to perform a certain level. People are going to perform how they choose to perform. Your impact on their life is going to hopefully help them to support them to make other choices, but you should not ever have expectations that what you do is going to change them, because the only thing that changes people is themselves. They change themselves. They choose to change. But anyway, so we stay away from quid pro quo, and we come from a position where we want to build social capital just because we want to build social capital, because we don't know when or if that relationship will ever blossom into something in a returning way. But it might and it might not, but it doesn't matter. It's the idea that we give and we pour into people. If you look at history, networking and social and the social capital created by networking, both socially and professionally, it typically happened naturally because we lived in smaller communities. So there was a constant interaction and social interaction with people in your community and networking that was done. So social capital was a natural extension of that. That was built out of just because we're in small communities. But as we know, history has changed. Our villages grew into towns, towns into cities, cities into megalopolises. And today we, you know, you live in towns like Dallas, Fort Worth, and, you know, you might know less than 0.01% of the people that live in the community you're in. So all of a sudden, that just caused the whole concept of social networking to collapse, and we really lost the other aspect of it, which is called trust, and you could see how trust plays such a critical role in building any relationship, and it's hard when you don't know very many people versus small-town atmosphere where you know everybody. But this has changed, so where has network marketing, to fill that vacuum, what has happened with social capital? Well, there's just a whole flurry of business networking groups today. A lot of you belong to different formal groups like BNI and things like that. There are lots of those out there. There are other groups that are Thursday morning groups. There are networking groups that people just, you know, you could call any group you belong to as a networking group. I think belonging to clubs or belonging to associations, belonging to Girl Scouts is a networking group. So everything that you're a member of is really a networking group, but a lot of them are aimed at, you know, people who do a lot of networking, sales groups, things like that. We join them both online and offline, and all of these things have filled the vacuum created by that disappearance of the community-based networking that we've seen in the past. So it's a rise of non-face-to-face communication that's really allowed business people to once again develop a strong contact networks, needing to offer, you know, to earn and accumulate more social capital. We see it with Facebook, Twitter, texting, all the things, all the social media that we have as well, that we're building networking groups. And there's just, if you want to look at this further, looking at networking like a pro, that Dr. Ivan Misner wrote a book called Networking Like a Pro, Turning Contacts into Connections. And that's what we're talking about. How do we turn contacts into people that become referral machines for us and connections for us to get somewhere else? Because remember, we have that whole concept that everything we ever want in life is only four or five contacts away from us. And so we need to start not just having contacts, but that having connections with people. And so that's an interesting book. I'm thinking, I don't have it, Dr. Isner's book, but I mean, Ivan Misner's book, but it sounds like a good one to get. And one of his chapters in his book focuses on what to say once you're face-to-face with a new contact at a networking type event or business event. And what that really means is it's not just what to say when you're face-to-face, but how do you stand out? How do you become something special? How do you become memorable to the person that you're working with? And the secret really lies in focusing your attention on the person in front of you and asking interesting questions. That's the bottom line. We've got to ask interesting questions. So in looking at interesting questions, sometimes we go back, you know, standout questions are different than just questions. And this is where I really learned a lot in this article, because I tend to just kind of go with the flow. I don't have memorized questions. I just be with listening. And through the be with listening, I'm able to come up with questions to ask the person to further pursue what they're up to. But I think I can be better. I mean, there's no question I can always be better. But that's what I liked about this, because it's giving me more ideas of what kind of questions to ask. So one of the things we know that, because a lot of people do network marketing and they think, well, network marketing is just about making sure we have a great elevator speech and then a business card and we're in like Flint. And that is so false, because an elevator pitch is really just something to get somebody intrigued so that you can open the door, that you might have a conversation with a person. A business card gives contact information. But the idea is that we got to take it that next step. What do we do when we have that first face-to-face meeting with the person? We really start connecting with them in order to really connect with them. Because if you don't connect with the person, it's very unlikely that you're ever going to bring them in the realm of your business, get them started on the products, or for sure ever get them in as a business partner. Because imagine going out there and trying to find a business partner, and you spend 5 minutes with them, and all of a sudden you claim them as a business partner. Well, how would you like to go into partnership with somebody in a major business that where you're looking at building a lot of income for yourself after a 5-minute conversation? No, there's got to be connection that occurs, and that's what these questions are going to help you develop on that first-time impact, on how do I get to know the person, how do I build a trust level, how do I make sure they understand my heart, and how do I do some myself, how do I do some of the weaning out and finding out whether this is somebody I want as a partner in my business, whether it's a partner just for referrals or it's a partner to go into business with or whatever it is. I want to be discerning about what kind of character they have as well and find out more about them, if they're the right kind of people. So standout questions are what you're looking at. One thing you do know that is that you, in cultivating and building these relationships with people, the one thing you want to stay away from is talking about yourself. And this comes through, we've done natural selling with Michael Oliver. There's so many trainings out there that will help support you with this. Yet time and time again, I continue to see people involved in network marketing who love to tell their stories to people. I mean, they're always about telling their story. And I keep going, wow, it's not about your story. Now, if they ask specific questions about you, then you can answer those questions. But remember that every time they ask a question of you, answer that question. Give them enough information, but immediately turn it back to them, because the focus is on them. So that's all part of your natural selling training with Michael Oliver. But we don't want to talk about ourselves, because you're surely going to bore a person. They're going to get lost. They're not going to be able to participate and be with listening with you, because they're tired of hearing about you. So they're going to drift off, and they're going to go in some other direction, and then you've lost them. So again, in order to make it your conversation with this person memorable, you've got to do it without talking about yourself. And you know that for some of you is goes, well, Mary Jo, how do you do that? Because to be memorable, you have to distinguish yourself. And I said, well, I agree with the fact that you have to distinguish yourself, but I don't agree with the fact that the only tool you have to distinguish yourself is who you are and what your background is. Now you're in limited thinking. You want to expand your thinking, be more creative with your thought about what that looks like. if you start looking at some people in your life who you can say, wow, they really impacted my life in a huge way, and you can say, and then you ask them, well, how much did you know about the person? Well, not very much, but they really helped me see a different, it's amazing that people that you are most memorable in your life aren't the ones that have the, you know, the history. They're not the Hollywood actors and actresses. They're not. They're people typically who had a major impact on your life to help you be the best you could be. So that's what you're going to start trying to look at yourself as. How do I support this person? How do I stay focused on them and interested in them so that they walk away from the conversation high as a kite on themselves, believing in themselves more than they did when the moment we started the conversation. That's a very fun thing to do, but it takes you to quit focusing on yourself. And what causes us, I think important to take this another step is, which of course a lot of this he didn't get into in his article, but what causes us to focus on ourselves? What is the number one thing that causes us to focus on ourselves when we start working with a new prospect or working with a potential business partner or a potential referral, source of referrals? The number one thing I'm going to suggest is fear. We focus on ourselves because we have insecurities about ourselves, and we want to make sure we look a certain way, or are we dressed right? Are we going to say the right things? And you get all that gobbledygook stuff that comes out, and you start doing all sorts of funny things, and all that insecurity becomes. It's almost like you might as well wear a badge that says I'm terribly insecure, because your body language and your language, all your communication that you make, is saying it anyway. So you might as well just slap a button on your shirt that says, I'm terribly insecure. So you can say, well, Mary Jo, how do you get out of that insecurity? Well, my mechanism of getting out of my insecurity, and some people say, I don't know if you've ever been insecure, Mary Jo. And I said, well, I'm sure there are times when I've had some insecurity. I know that when I went to law school, I was very insecure about my ability. It was a very competitive environment. And so there were times. But the idea of getting outside of it, for me, comes from a spiritual perspective. I'm not in control. God's in control. And if I'm here to honor him and do his work on this earth, there's no place for fear and insecurity, because he doesn't want me to have any fear in my life. He doesn't want me to walk in insecurity. He wants me to walk in boldness. He wants me to walk in straightforwardness. He wants me to impact lives, to go out there and be the best I can be and be as Christ-like as possible. And Jesus Christ didn't walk on earth with insecurity, right? And I know some of you on this call, it's not about whether you're a Christian or not, but what is it for you that helps you get out of that fear and insecurity? Because if you walk into an environment and you go there, you've got to work on that really quickly, because that can devastate you in any attempt at building a relationship and having more social capital. You're going to destroy social capital. You're not going to build social capital. So make sure that you're not, you know, that you're not fearful, you're not insecure, because that tends to always drag the conversation about you. You get into the self-promotion arena. And it's so exciting and fun to be around people that never talk about themselves, because it's like, it's just a relaxed conversation. It's not, no one's pounding on their chest and beating on their chest. It's just a soft, generous conversation that allows us to, you know, really grow and become, you know, connected with people. Okay, so stay away from yourself, stay away from talking to yourself, overcome fears and insecurity that tends to cause you to do that. So again, your goal is to make yourself memorable without talking about yourself, and from a lot of people that sounds paradoxical, but we know it's not. It is about asking proper questions to make people feel great about themselves and reveal very positive things about them. So what are the five questions? Let's dig in and start looking at what Dr. Meisner talks about, and when he talks about the five questions that he says are standout, absolutely incredible questions to use in interacting with people in a networking environment. Most of these you'll see are related to people who are either in sales or networking that you're involved with, and that means probably 80% of the people you deal with every day. I mean, even most people are involved in sales in one shape or way, shape or form. And you can always develop a relationship with people for purposes of referrals if you can't get them in your organization. So that would include a lot of people in other competitive or non-competitive network marketing companies. All right. So let's kick off. The first question we're going to look at is, what do you like best about what you do? And this question also, when I was reading this article, I started laughing because I said, wow, this is directly from Bob Berg. If some of you remember Bob Berg's stuff, he was actually on stage at Manifest a couple times. And this is one of his favorite questions, too. It's like one of the first questions he likes to ask people. So maybe that's where Dr. Meisner got this. But it was, what do you like best about what you do? Now, why do you ask that question and said, what do you, you know, a lot of us like to say, well, what do you do for a living? And one of the things that happens with that is that it opens up them to say almost anything they want to say. And, you know, because they can get into the doldrums of being a miserable job and a miserable this and a miserable this. And so you want to stay away from, you know, tapping into their misery side. You want to stay with the misery index, because part of the memorable nature of your relationship with this person is going to be that you brought joy in their life. And if they can walk away from you feeling joy in their life, that is just a wonderful thing. You'll forever be a part of their lives, and they will acknowledge you. So what we want to do is we want to make sure we're bringing joy in their life. So when you ask the question, what did you like best, where are you aiming the direction of the conversation? You're aiming the direction of the conversation into positive things. So the person will talk about great things. It doesn't really leave him much room to maneuver to talk about things that are bad. It's about what is great. And it will raise the mood of the person who answers it. Almost invariably, you're going to increase the move. You're going to lift the mood of that person up, because they're going to be focused on what? Good things. Tapping into positive emotions. So this question then will allow you to open the door for more interesting conversation about the other person's business, the likes and dislikes and whatever. You can get into that as you move along. But this cracks open that door on a positive note, increases the mood of the person you're talking to put them on a plane where it's going to be a level you want to communicate with this person at, instead of being a negative plane. Okay? It's a great one. I like this question a lot. I think it's one I don't use enough of, and I'm really highlighting this in my work that I did this weekend to prepare for the call, as well as we go through this call. So it's going to be one of those that I'm going to use more frequently, and I'm going to actually watch myself and follow myself to see that I'm doing that. The intriguing thing about it is when you start asking about what they do, what they like best about what they do, and then they get into what they do and what they like best about it and what are their dislikes and things, it'll allow you to carry on that conversation in full. Now, what's going to be the natural progression in the conversation? Exactly. For those of you who haven't been through this enough, you may not understand it, but the minute you start asking a person about what they do and what they like best about what they do, what are the joys they see in what they're doing, and you know, those kind of things, that what they're going to do is they're going to ask you. They're going to turn around and ask you, so what do you do for a living, and what do you like best in what you're doing, and why did you choose that or something? I mean, you'll start triggering a response back to you. So the other important thing, that when you take down these questions and you say, okay, Mary Jo, these are the questions I'm going to go out and start asking people and talking to people. I'm going to raise this as some of the first things we discuss. You better be ready for a good response when they turn the table on you. So don't just go out there thinking, okay, Mary Jo said, don't talk about me, so I'm not going to ever say anything about me. Well, if they ask you a question about you, you better be prepared. You don't want to stumble. You don't want to say, when somebody says, so what do you do and what do you like best? Well, I do network marketing. I'm working for a nutrition company, and you know, it's kind of okay, and you don't want to do that. You want to say, oh my gosh, I have this incredible relationship with a company called Manatech, and I help support the company by getting massive numbers of people involved in improving their health with tremendous breakthrough real food technology products. But what's most important is the fact that we're saving lives all around the world today, because the company matches every one of our purchases, whether it's vitamins or it's glyconutrients. They match it with a donation to at-risk children who are subject to malnutrition. You know, I mean, it's just what a great response, right? But see the difference in the passion and the energy behind that response than maybe a response that you're typically giving today? So you've got to be prepared. And did Mary Jo write that out? No, I just did that from the seat of my pants. But that's probably a lot because of my training in my past and my ability to use languaging. And I'm not the best by any means. But if you have trouble coming up with words like that on the drop of a hat or at the drop of a moment, you want to make sure that you prepare. Write that out. And that's why we tell people to write elevator speeches and everything else, because you want to be prepared to get a, give a great response each time somebody asks you that kind of question. And show that passion. I mean, when you show that passion, that's what attracts people. Passion always attracts people, because people will look at you and say, how do I get that passion in my life? How many of you look around you today and find really passionate people? I mean, it's hard. It's hard. I mean, even at my mission, I was at a mission meeting last night. I'll share this with you, because I'm going to Brazil again this year. I was there last year for 2 weeks, and some of you who wanted to share that experience with me, I posted a video. I think it's still up on manatrain.net, so you can look on there, and it's, you know, on the left-hand side of the front webpage, you can click on the Brazil outing, and you can read about it and watch the video. But I'm going back, and last night when I was at the mission meeting with all the people that are going this year, we have 40 people heading out for it this year. And it was amazing just sitting back and being with these people and watching the behavior, the insecurities, the, you know, people. One person said, well, if I don't get my visa, if I pay the $2,000 for the trip and I don't get my visa in time, do I get my money back? It was like, I was just like thinking, oh my gosh. I mean, people were just stuck in their stuff, It was pretty amazing to watch what fears people had and what insecurities they had and some of the commentary. And it was, and we did a prayer, and I got a chance to pray for the people in the room, just that they would just really open their hearts and allow and acknowledge who's in control here and just be open and allow the Lord to work through them, because they were obviously hanging on to their stuff in that room last night. And so it was a great time we had in share and fellowship, and wonderful to watch it. But it's about us, you know, just letting go. We've got to be ready and open to receive, and ready and open to be with people. And that's what it's about. So, okay, so what you do like best about what you do? Great question. The second question he brings out is, you mentioned that you were in whatever that industry is. You mentioned that you were in the wallpaper industry. What got you started in that direction? And another reason, why do you ask this question? Well, again, what causes people to get started in their business is a really credible question to ask. Most people enter a business environment because they have made a decision that that's the passion in their life, or they like that. Today, we don't find that as true as often, because people are just desperate to find jobs, so they might be doing something. But it's still important for you, what, as a foundation, to get that information. You want to find out what it is that caused them to go in that direction. That will reveal to you, in many instances, it'll tell you what their passion is, what their motivation is, what their love is, what their desires are in their hearts, what their goals are for their lives. So you'll start gaining a lot of insight to the person. You'll also gain insight to, are they really dedicated to something? Do they have a direction in their life? How proficient are they with what they're doing? I mean, all these things, this is an information gatherer for you. Because not only is your job to impact their lives and to connect with them at every way possible, the other part of your job is to make sure you're using discernment in, is this somebody you want to work with? Do they have the right requisite amount of passion and dedication and drive that you're looking, that you feel is going to be a great business partner for you? Whether they're a partner actually as a signed-up all-star associate in your downline, or they're a partner because you choose to do referrals back and forth together and you become referral machines for each other. Whatever that looks like, is this the right kind of person you want to do business with? So you just want to find out about their prior experience. What is their prior experience? What have they gone through? What do they have? It'll also give you some ideas of how you can, you know, how you can support them in referring people to you. You can help them to, you know, if they say, now, how can I help you? You can say, well, you know what? This is what you mentioned when we talked about how you got into your business. And I thought, what a great source. My immediate thought in my heart was, what a great source of finding people who have health needs. And if you could tap into any of those people and give them as connections to me. So you see what you do? You just can go back and pull out that information, and you can't pull it out if you never received it in the first place. So it's going to give you a lot of history and a lot of information that will help you, again, find ways that they can support you because you're going to be supporting them. Where else do you usually network? That's a great question to ask people at a networking event because that's going to open up avenues to you endless. What are we always trying to do? Find places to network. We're trying to find where do we find more people? So when you go to networking events, don't be satisfied that you're, I found an event, so I'm going to go there. No, you should be going and collecting more data from everybody there. You should be collecting data on where else do they network? Where else do they find people? How are they doing their business today? It's like being on a cruise. I mean, one of the reasons I like to win every single one of these, you know, all-expenses-paid trips by Manitech is because we get to be around some of the biggest business builders in Manitech, and you can ask them questions about how are they doing their business, how are they networking, where are they finding people today, what are they using as mechanisms to find additional contacts. You can do the same exact thing. So that's what you're doing here is you're using any networking event. You should put a goal for yourself. I want to find at least 5 new sources of lead where I can find leads from my event tonight. And that's what you walk into the event with those goals. Set your goals. I like to do that whenever I take action on anything. I said, do I have, and some people go, well, Mary Jo, then you're on an agenda. I said, no, I'm not on an agenda. I just have an idea of a focus of what I'd like to get out of the event. And so it makes me be able to be more clear in the kind of questions and the kind of communication I'm going to have with people. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just you're creating a goal. You're meeting goals that you set for the event. All right, so you want to talk about, and the other thing that it allows you to do is you get to talk to somebody about something that's very common to both of you. So commonality always breaks down barriers in terms of trust and other things, so you bring that commonality into the conversation. So an instant connection, and it also allows you to what? To talk to the person about a topic that's very relevant to them. You know, a lot of times you come up, just like I started the call off today talking about the Mavericks. Well, a lot of you don't relate to that at all. So I didn't do a good job of connecting with you. But it still was a huge, I mean, I think we'll come down off of our Maverick high probably by, you know, a couple weeks from now. But it was really important to me, and I love to share my heart, and it's hard for me not to share my heart. But it wasn't probably a connecting device. When I talk about a topic that's relevant to all of us, for those of you that's relevant, that brings on more connectiveness. And that's what talking about where they network, where else do you usually network? That's a relevant topic for both. And then the fourth, okay, so that's a third question. The fourth question that he suggested was, what are some of your biggest challenges? Now, this is a good question that he suggests is a good one to bring up if maybe the conversation gets into some awkward period or something where you both aren't having anything to say. You know, this is a good question because it generates a lot of information that you want to know. And again, it's back to commonality between both of you. So you can relate to what they're talking about in terms of challenges. So you talk about what are your biggest challenges, you know, that you're finding and what you're doing. It can be used at the end of a conversation. You don't want to kick off a conversation with this. Because again, you already got them in this positive mood, this incredible mood, and now you don't want to take them down on day one. Because some of the challenges sometimes are cause people to think more negatively, but it'll allow you to see how passionate the person is about their business, how motivated they are about their specific business or specific industry, and you'll be able to read that to see whether they're able to overcome some of these challenges or are they challenges getting stuck. Are they getting stuck behind the challenges? Because you realize that's what challenges are. Challenges happen in every single person's life. If somebody's motivated and passionate enough, challenges, they're going to eat that like lunch. They're going to just jump right through that. They're going to overcome. In fact, some of the people that when you say, what are some of your biggest challenges? And the people go, you know, Mary Jo, I don't really have any. I don't have a lot of challenges. Because, you know, I guess I look at them not as challenges, but I look at them as like, you know, they're kind of like, oh, great, I get to tackle this. It's another problem I get to tackle. So it's fun. It's a joy. When somebody says that to you, you go, this is a winner and I want this person in my life. Right there. Because look at how much of your conversations on a daily basis with people in your life always focus on challenges and how challenges are stopping them dead in the water. So when you find somebody that doesn't even perceive challenges in life or perceives them and says, you know what, I don't really like, look at them as, you know, this is a blip on the radar, and wow, it gives me a great opportunity to come from solution. That is unbelievable attitude. That's the attitude you're looking for. So, again, you're asking these questions to find out what kind of person you're dealing with as well and to actually determine their level of passion and motivation for their business. So you can see what they're doing in their business and if they're, you know, carrying it forward, if they're positive about it, if it's really something they're desiring to do, or are they just, it's something very negative. Because when you talk to networkers, a lot of times you're going to find people that are very negative about network marketing. And I go, wow, so have you thought about leaving this and doing something different? You know, I mean, that's how sometimes my conversation goes. Because I, you know, you seem to be so miserable at what you're doing. And that's sometimes where the conversation will go. But it's, but because I, my feel for people in terms of who I work with, I look at this business, and this business isn't for everybody. And if I can help somebody make a decision that this isn't a business for them and they'd rather be doing something else, you know, praise God for that. I've helped them not waste 3-4 years doing something that they just don't, you know, they're not prolific at, they're not good at, they're not passionate about, they're not dedicated to. We want to drive them into finding something they can be. And a lot of times through that kind of conversation, you can find out what really is blocking them and maybe do some coaching around that as well. But it's fun to be a part of their lives to help them open their eyes to see some things. So what is some of your biggest challenges are great. And again, when they say one of their biggest challenges, you don't go, oh my gosh, I had that too, and what have I just done? I've just converted the conversation to boring because I focused on me. Can you give them some suggestions perhaps? Can you say, well, you know, that's not an atypical problem that exists in your industry, I would suspect, or in our industry, if you're talking about the same industry. You know, and how did you overcome that, or what are you looking at? How are you tackling that? Ask them. Dig out of them. They have the answers. You might know you have the answers or think you do, but they have their answers, and it's your job is to help support them find those answers. So, okay? And then 5, how can I help you? See how this comes to an incredible ending, a culmination of all these questions. And then it's, well, how can I support you? What is it that I can do to support you? Now, would you do this with everybody? If you found somebody that was very angry and very, you know, ugly and had some characteristics and you just thought and was, you know, maybe totally self-centered, I mean, is that somebody you want in your business? You've got to say to yourself, there's got to be some kind of, and this isn't about people go, well, Mary Jo, you're very judgmental about that. No, it's not. It's about just having discernment over who are you going to partner with. I don't ask everybody on the face of the earth to be a business partner of mine, and there's a reason for that, because I have certain standards or qualities that I look for in people, and yes, I will still love on people who aren't my business partners, but if I'm going to make that kind of level of dedication day in and day out to somebody, that person needs to have specific characteristics. And if you don't have that developed for yourself, maybe that's something you want to do. What are the characteristics you're looking for in a business partner? And I did a great piece on that years ago. In fact, I think it's the first entry on Mana Train. So if you go back on Mana Train to the very first piece, I trained it at Manifest maybe 6 years ago, and it was about, you know, building your, you know, the characteristics. Download or print off the outline and listen to that training I did on determining characteristics for a business builder. And you need to have those as part of what you're looking for, the package you're looking for. So when you've discerned that this is a person that you want to have a relationship with, that you truly would like to have in your life on a longer-term basis, that you think can be a great referral partner or even as somebody that's a member of your business, eventually if not today, then it's about how do you help them? How can I help you? So this kind of question should be something that comes naturally because we understand the value of giving. We are part of Give for Real. We are part of Manatech. We understand the power of giving, the value of giving. And you know what? This is a lot easier than selling, isn't it? As Sam puts it, giving is so much easier than selling. So you start out the base of a relationship by all these incredible questions that are about the person, showing how much you care, finding out more about them, having some discernment, and then saying, how is it that I can support you? How can I help you? And it's amazing how that relationship will come back to you over and over and over, tenfold. And my saying is you never can outgive God, and I think that's where the opening premise and forever premise is that we can never outgive the Lord. So that means giving is what we do, and we do it endlessly, and it no expectations, no quid pro quo. It's just that's what we do, and that all will come back in tenfold to us. So know that in your heart, and know that's the way to do it, and go out there and be that person, and watch what we all attract in your life. So to conclude, kind of everybody has a story. Our job is to go out and find what it is, right? And asking the right questions is really truly about earning trust and gaining rapport and what we call connection, making connection with people. Connection doesn't mean finding out their name and telephone number. Making connections means at a deeper level, at a heartfelt level, you have connected with that person. And you know when you connect with people because you know that when you walk away, you feel that incredible sense that this is somebody that's critically important in your life, or somebody that maybe not critically important, but somebody that can become that important to you in your life, somebody that has something to offer, that you have something to offer them, and you can make some music together in some way, shape, or form. And that's what you're doing, asking the right questions so you earn the trust, gain the rapport, build the connection with a person. And it's about getting the other person to feel comfortable telling you about his business without feeling that there's a level of competition. If you walk in there high-powered and you know it all and all this kind of stuff, it's going to be a totally different response. Don't put yourself out there as the best and the know-it-all and the do-it-all and all that. You know, we do that, and a lot of that, where does that come from? It comes from insecurity again. Instead, walk into that room with a heart of, I want to learn. I want to learn about these people. I want to find out about these people. I want to learn how I can pour into them. It's an incredible response that you get. It's almost pastoral in many ways, but it's a great beingness to have, to just be a giver. So get other people to feel comfortable with you. They're going to open up. They'll share with you. They'll talk about their business. They won't feel threatened by you in any way, shape, or form because you've given them nothing to give them an idea that you're in competition or that you're in conflict with them. So increasing social capital is done by developing solid relationships with future referral partners, with future potential business partners. And they're going to be more than happy to reciprocate anytime a referral comes their way. So as you begin supporting other people, they're going to support you back. And again, it's not about expectation, not quid pro quo, but it's about doing it because you know it's the right thing to do. End of story, right? And that's who we are. So, okay, people, that's all I had to give you today. Hopefully you enjoyed the talk. We almost made the full hour. It's any questions, feedback? Did anyone feel like this was... I know some of the material you might say, well, that wasn't so new, but did you learn something? Did you pick up something in terms of questions to be asked? Did you pick up something that may have opened you up to see yourself differently as you're interacting with either business partners, networkers, other salespeople, other people that could potentially support your business? What did you learn from the call today? Anyone want to share a little?
Mary Jo?
Yeah.
Yeah, this was very, very good because, you know, sometimes people are at a loss when they ask questions, including me.
Yeah.
And I went to a networking event, and I wish I would have had these questions handy.
Well, guess what, Rudy? Now you have them. So, yeah. So you're going to be marvelous, right? I mean, it's...
Hopefully you will practice. Also, I have another question for you. When you're going to the ISK event,
uh-huh.
what materials are you going to be taking? That kind of adds to what you were just talking about here with this talk.
How about if I give you an outline? Because we have been working for the last 4 weeks. Every single week we have a call. We have an outline of all the things that we're preparing for. And what I'll do is I'll give you a copy of that outline, and in there you'll see the different things that we've selected to have there. How's that? That may help you. Okay? It's just accumulation of information because I have a phone call with my person in San Antonio every single week. We've been doing this for weeks, and we just keep adding information on it as we get closer and closer to the event. So it has an accumulation of all that. And I'll just send that out to everybody on the call.
Oh, please do. That would be very, very helpful also.
Sure. Absolutely. I have no problem with that. Great question.
Mary Jo?
Uh-huh.
This is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
You gave such a wonderful elevator speech, and I know you've given us some before, but You know, you always say it in such a nice way of, well, who we are and what we're doing. Is there any way you could kind of put that on your piece of paper, too?
Are you talking about the one I just gave in this call today? The one when I talked about, you know, working with Manatech? Is that the one you want?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I will. I'll add that little elevator speech as well. No problem. Yep.
Thank you.
You bet.
Mary Jo.
Uh-huh.
This is Linda.
You
talked at the beginning about the presentation that Sam made. Is that the, what was the name of the thing? Hang on a second. My notes escaped me here. Okay. Destiny Unfolding. Was that
Destiny Unfolding. I don't know the name of it. Is that, did he give his name Destiny Unfolding, Lydia? Was that the name of his? Sam's talk. I don't know that, Lydia. I don't know if that's it. Yeah, I can't tell you that. If Fred's still on the phone, he might be able to give us some insight, but I'm not sure he's still on. So,
okay, Sylvia McQuiston played the Destiny Unfolding last week, and it was hard to listen to because the music was so loud. I eventually turned it off because I couldn't take it.
Then that can't be it because it's the one he gave live. We're talking about the talk he gave live at Manatech headquarters.
Okay, good.
Destiny Unfolding. Oh, Lydia said Destiny Unfolding is the one that he did at ManaFest. So, no, it's not that one. We're talking about the presentation that he did live the other last Tuesday night. Yeah.
Okay.
Or a week ago Tuesday. Okay?
Great. Thanks.
You bet. Mm-hmm. You bet. Anyone else? Okay, great, everybody. You guys all have a terrific week. Enjoy yourself, and we'll talk to you again next Monday. Oh, don't forget about ManaQuest, too. I forgot to bring that up. Sorry, we're going to put that at the top of our outlines because that's coming upon us quickly. I mean, it's already in mid-June. It seems like time is just flying. So let's all plan on being at ManaQuest. I can't wait to be there. I think it's going to be an awesome event. So we'll talk more about that next week. All right, everybody. Love you all. Have a great week.